welcome you to the house of the Lord, and those that are on Facebook may be there and wherever you may be listening. So we just want to get right into the Word of God. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6. As we deal with the subject of overcoming worry, man, I won't ask how many have ever worried about anything, because it'd have to be 100% if there's honesty. But worry doesn't really come from God, because God gives us victory over the worries and the fears of this life, and there are many. But our God is greater, more powerful. And Jesus here gives us instruction in his Sermon on the Mount. And so let's notice Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. We'll begin there. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or riches. Verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Amen. Father, I ask you, Lord, to bless and minister and touch the heart and the life through the instruction of your word today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Overcoming worry. I know that this is a message that's probably okay for any time, because people, any congregation deals with worry or something at the time. And worry usually turns to fear that it might happen to me, whatever you're worried about, or what could happen, or what might happen, or what might be in the way. Worry is something that is natural. It's a natural emotion that we have. Amen. But worry can be an enemy to your faith. And so Jesus said here, you know, no one can serve two masters. He will either love the one and hate the other, or he'll either be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So what do we want to rule our lives, worry or faith? In Christ, there is freedom from worry, because he can always be trusted. God, his feelings and his emotions are not fickle like ours. Our emotions and our feelings will change from time to time. If you don't believe that, ask your companion. No, don't. Not right now. But it can happen. But Jesus had one purpose in mind when he came to this earth, and that was to complete and fulfill the plan of redemption for me and you. He had no other purpose to serve other than to do what his Father had sent him to do. And that was a huge task. And to becoming a sacrifice for the whole world that would atone and pay for sins for whosoever will. And so he would complete the plan of redemption on the cross, where he could look up and say, it is finished. In other words, the plan of redemption had been complete. The perfect Lamb of God had been slain. The perfect blood had been shed. Amen. And that was his blood, the only blood that could atone for sin. And so he didn't worry about what he came to do. Jesus knew what he came to do. He knew it would be a difficult task. I won't say it was easy for him. In his humanity, no, it was not easy for him to go to the cross and suffer crucifixion. In his deity, he would do that, but in his humanity, it was difficult. And he would say, in Matthew 20:28, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Do you think the Son of God, who spoke worlds and universes into existence, why he would come and take on the limitations of a human body? That is a work of God, and it's a work of grace. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to step down from the glories of heaven and come down here where we are in a sinful world and try to make things right or serve a people that so that they could be right with God and would have eternal life instead of eternal separation from God. And so Jesus had every reason to worry, but instead he taught us not to worry. Amen. If you can imagine, Jesus would be going to the cross, and then he instructs people on how not to worry. So have you ever been worried? Are you presently worried about people being sick and being out of church because of sickness? Every pastor's worried about that. But we don't want people to undergo suffering, and we don't want to personally, or we don't want to see anybody else to go through things, but everybody does. And people worry about stuff, and worry is kind of like being in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it didn't get you anywhere. Okay? So let's look first at what is worry. I would like to say worry, first of all, I would say worry is a thief. Because it comes to steal your peace, and I've never seen very many worried people that were just at peace. Not just to have such a peaceful worry. No. It steals your peace, it steals your hope, it steals your confidence, and it is an enemy that steals your faith if we just worry all the time. Amen. And so worry can be a thief. And it is a battle. Worry is a battle for the lordship of your life. What happens when you're saved? Well, some people say you just say a sinner's prayer and that's it and you're good from then on. Well, no. What's being saved is, yes, confession of your sins and ask God's forgiveness and believe that he died and rose again from the dead. Yes, that's salvation. But when you get saved, you give your life to Jesus. You give your mind to Jesus. You give your will. You give your emotions. You give your heart to God. And that's what you give to him. And so we don't want worry to become the lordship of our life. We want Christ alone to be the Lord of our life. And so it is a battle. That's what worry is. And so also worry is being weighed down with present circumstances. And so I don't think I have to pander very long to know what that is in society here today, is with a pandemic upon us, and local worry has turned to national worry, and national worry has turned to global worry. So the whole world is worried, and yet it's not a bit better by being worried. And so that's what worry is. Also, worry is what God is not. You ever think about it? God isn't worried about what might happen or could happen. He already knows what's going to happen. And God is not controlled by fear or anxiety, nor does he want you to be controlled by fear and anxiety and worry. God wants to be in control of your life, and the only person that can give you peace in a troubled world that we live in, we can't deny the fact that we live in a troubled world. We live in a world where people are killed and people are shot and people are treated bad and things happen and people are ungodly and unholy and impure. Yet God is still faithful and kind and gracious even to save us. Amen. And he did. Praise the Lord. So God is not worried. It is, and worry is not of God. I'm not talking about being concerned about people and the things that they're going through or being concerned enough to help somebody, but I'm talking about when you just drown in worry all the time, and if you don't have something to worry about, you dream up something to worry about. There's a few like that. What is worry? It is doubt of who God is. Because if we believe that God is capable to do anything, everything, and God never falls short, and God is not capable of failure, then the God that we serve is not something to be worried about. It's something to rejoice in. One of the names of God is Jehovah Jireh, which means God sees and God provides. God sees everything and God provides. God doesn't just see, well, you're going through a hard time, and look at you and say, oh yeah, you're going through a hard time. But God provides the means necessary to walk us through that and to help us overcome it. Praise the Lord. And he sees where you are. He knows your feelings. He knows your weaknesses and he understands you because, you see, the Son of God became the Son of Man in his humanity. Amen. He never ceased to be deity, he never ceased to be God, but he came down and became humanity as well. And so he knows what feelings are. He knows he walked this earth for 33 years. He knows how people are. And he more furthermore knows how people are because he created us. You know, God formed men from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. So we know that God knows about us and God created us. He knows what feelings we have. He knows what worries we have. He knows what you go through emotionally, physically, and mentally. He knows all those things because he's been there. He's not in some far off place somewhere that just has nothing to do with mankind. No, he's right here with us. Praise the Lord. So we don't need to doubt who God is, that he knows everything about us, and he knows where you presently are. He knows what you're presently going through. If you're going through something, he knows what you're worried about. If you're worried about something or somebody, amen. But God sees and God provides what is necessary for the hour. And so don't let worry rule or master your life. Verse 24 of our text says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will love the one and hate the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Be loyal to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You can't serve two masters. So we don't want worry to be our master, and we don't want it to rule our lives. Because, you see, God does want to rule your life instead of worry ruling your life. Second, we find all that worry must be replaced with faith. Amen. And faith that God is greater than what is worrying you right now. And we are in a fear of in our own country, and I don't want to preach on politics, but we're in fear of losing our freedoms, of losing our national security. We're in much of Americans in fear of that right now. But we must overcome that with faith that God is greater. God has always been greater. He will always be greater than whatever you're fearing or worrying about right now. He's greater than our present fear. He's greater than our national fear. He's greater than the news channels. He's greater than the COVID-19. He is greater. He's more powerful. Amen. The Bible says you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Whatever you're worried about right now, let me tell you, God that you serve is greater than that thing. Glory to God. And so worry is the enemy of your faith. It is an attack of the enemy to cause you to lose hope and to expect the worst. Have you ever been around somebody that just expected the worst? They didn't see the bright side of anything. Amen. If they woke up looking straight at the rising of the sun, then they saw something wrong with that. They're worried that by noon, it's not going to shine anymore. It is. And so, what if, and people are worried about that, what if this happens and that happens? We're instructed to do this in Scripture. We have an enemy of our soul that doesn't want us to have victory. He don't want you to have any faith. He wants you to have worry all the time. What's going to happen? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And you see, in Christ, we can do that. Verse 5 of that 2 Corinthians 10:5, that we can cast down imaginations, arguments, some translations put it. And I want to tell you, imagination is something that can get away from you real easy. And we have the ability to imagine. You know, we sometimes you say, God, can you just limit our imaginations? And so a lot of people live there and imagining what might happen or could happen. You know, I saw this or I saw that. You know, what could this lead to? What could that lead to? Oh, after a while you go that direction and you find there's not hope for anything in the whole wide world, not even you. But we have to cast down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. There's things that exalt themselves and say that they're bigger than God, and your worries and your fears will say, this is too big for the God that you serve. It's too big for you. It's not too big. Greater is he who's in you than he's in the world. It's not too great for God. It's not too big. And so God tells us to cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And it tells us something that's hard to do. It says to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You need to let God be in control, be Lord of your thought life. Amen. The carnal mind is enmity against God. The mind is a hard thing to control. As a matter of fact, we have what they call behavioral sciences that supposedly to figure out what everybody's thinking, what they thought, and what's causing them to think what they think. And after a while, they end up not knowing what they're talking about. Wasn't that brilliant? Okay. So worry is not the will of God. It's not put there by God. Faith is put there by God. God has dealt to every person the measure of faith. God has given you the ability to believe and to trust Him above all things. Praise the Lord. Now let's look for a moment here at the causes of worry. And here in the Scripture, some things are brought out that just get down to ordinary life. And so there's worry about food. In America here, most people don't worry about food. They just eat it. Too much. Look for diets to get some, to roll some of that off, you know. Anyway. But here God gives a inscription. This is the words of Jesus here. Why do you worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear? And he says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more value than they? Amen. So God's concerned about the birds, and he provides for them to eat. And he says, you're of more value than they. You know, God didn't breathe into them the breath of life. They didn't become a living soul, nefesh. And so, but yet they are taken care of by God. I remember my pastor used this illustration, so I'll use it again since he didn't wear it out. And he said he was thinking about this verse that God prepares for the birds. And he was at a restaurant, and a car just pulled in that was... The grill was full of insects that it had hit over the way on the road. And he said, God is providing for those birds. They sat up on that grill and just pecked all those insects out of there. Amen. If you're on a diet, that'll help you. It's near lunchtime. More ways than that, but God does provide for the birds. And God provides food for us. You know, it's important that, you know, we have to eat to live, but there's a difference in eating to live than living to eat. And so, but natural things cause us to worry. Things that threaten our nation, violence, mob violence, socialism, which in the former USSR, Christians were tortured, killed, and murdered for their faith. You can call it by whatever name you want to, but socialism is just a step to communism. And today, we could be fearful of the threat of Islamic jihadists to ruin our way of free life that we live here in the U.S. And we could worry about it, and you could worry about it all day, but it won't change anything just to worry about it. But we can pray and believe God, and many of our missionaries are proclaiming people are coming to Christ where they minister in strong Islamic countries, because then God is allowing many of them to see Jesus in visions and dreams and realizing that He is the answer today. Praise the Lord. And so I thank God for what He is doing even among those people. We're sending the gospel out, and the devil's not happy about that, but I am if people are getting saved. Praise the Lord. And so there's many things that cause you to worry. And prior to the Lord's return, we know that evil people will become worse and worse. And so we can fear that if we want to, but the Bible tells us about that. And we see things happen today, and I can't imagine somebody's driving by and shooting a 2-year-old kid that's on a tricycle. But that's happened in our society, even recently. How low do you have to be to take a little kid's life to start with? And they take them younger than that, even before they're born. And that's murder, and it's wrong, it's sin. But Jesus tells us in the last days, he says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And so there is lawlessness that is abounding today, but while lawlessness abounds, that doesn't mean that you have to grow cold spiritually. Many people will. They'll say, well, there's just no hope for this old world, and people are getting worse and worse, so I just give up. My friend, I am not going to give up. You're not going to give up. God didn't give up on us. Jesus didn't give up when he came to the cross. It was hard. It was painful. Amen. He bore the sins of the whole world, but he didn't quit. He didn't give up. He didn't grow cold in his relationship with his Father. He paid the price for our salvation. You don't have to grow cold spiritually. You can stay strong and close to God and be on fire for the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, we'd better stay in love with Jesus, with our Savior. Causes of fear, natural disasters cause fear, weather, threat of storms, things of this nature, earthquakes, and things happen. There's some people that are just, you know, if there's a report of an earthquake on the smallest scale somewhere, somebody, you know, in the last days there'll be earthquakes in various places. Well, there will be. And every time there's a storm, a rainstorm, it thunders loud. Oh, you know, Jesus has got to be coming now because it's never thundered that way but a million times since Adam. So people worry about things that are not worth worrying over. So fear of natural disasters, they come and they go. And there's a fear of being robbed. Have you ever been worried that somebody will rob you and take everything you got? They wouldn't get too much from me. But anyway, I kind of like what I got. Nobody wants to be robbed. In my hometown, the grand metropolis of DeLeon, Texas, population 2,000, not close to anywhere. There was people in our church, and they weren't too bright. It's a nice way to say it, I guess, if there is a nice way. But out in his yard, he lived in a mobile home, a small one, and he had a tractor that was chained to a trailer that was full of junk iron. And he had a chain attached to the trailer from the worn-out tractor with two locks on it, afraid somebody was going to steal it. No thief in their right mind would steal such a thing as he had. He didn't have anything to worry about. One time later, when I was in DeLeon, years later, that trailer was still attached to that tractor. And you couldn't have started that tractor. You had to be a mechanic to start it. Anyway, you got it. But you see, things that people are afraid of. He's afraid of being robbed. He's afraid of somebody stealing what he had. They didn't. People worry about financial collapse, and things could collapse financially. It won't be the first time. It's happened many times. It's happened to many people, even that weren't in a depression or a time that, like that. It's financial collapse is happened to people that were stingy and just couldn't wait and use that credit card till it was used up when they realized they didn't need half of what they thought they needed. And they let their credit cards get out, and they had to go into bankruptcy or something like that. And so God gives us common sense. He expects us to use it. Praise the Lord. I'm the only one that said praise the Lord on that. Anyway, it's true. And so Jesus here says, and why do you worry about what you're going to wear? What about clothing? And in the day that Jesus lived in, there was no Walmart where you could go and buy clothing. You couldn't go to Sears, or you couldn't go to Penny's, Dillard's, Walmart, Dollar General. Oh, I don't know if they got anything. But anyway, it was important in that day to have clothing. You were considered wealthy if you had more than one outfit to wear. But Jesus here is not speaking necessarily of, well, he is speaking of clothing outwardly in the natural sense. He said, don't worry about clothing. He said, look at the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So Jesus is saying, you know, Solomon, in Solomon's golden rule must have been something. Everything he had, all of his drinking vessels were of gold. Not one was of silver. Amen. He said silver became as common as stones on the streets. And there's a lot of stones in that area. A lot of rocks. But Solomon in all of his glory and all his greatness and what all he made and what all he did, and you can read about it in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. You can read a lot about it. And his income was probably more than yours is per year. As a matter of fact, his income per year was more than everybody in this building and every church building in town. He had gold running out his ears. His ears weren't big enough. He's big. Anyway, he was wealthy. But Jesus said he was not arrayed in all of his glory like one of these lilies. God is able to make things beautiful. All you have to do is look at nature and see that God is God. A person that's an atheist, if they'll just look at what God made, they'd have to believe in God. Nobody, no man could come to that imagination. Flowers didn't emerge from some lower form of life. They were made by God. Okay? Okay, clothing, but let's look at it in a spiritual sense. What about spiritual clothing? And the writer in 2 Corinthians talks about this. Clothing is used here. 2 Corinthians 5 and 2, he says, for we in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. He is saying that the church, the people of God, born-again Christians, they're waiting to be clothed with the habitation of heaven. In other words, they're looking for a physical body that's going to be clothed with the righteousness and the goodness of God, a body that will never lose form or shape, a body that will never die, a body that is eternal. And the Bible tells us that we'll receive a body like unto Christ, his glorious, resurrected, glorified body. And that's what we're looking for. That's what he's talking about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If indeed we have been clothed, we shall not be found naked, spiritually naked. That means without Christ is righteousness. In other words, if we know Christ in our hearts, we're clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And you don't want to be spiritually naked. You want to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. That's what happens when you're saved. God places the righteousness of his Son upon you, and you become favorable and acceptable in the sight of God in heaven. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:4, for we who live in this tent, I don't know if you've ever considered your body, physical body, as a tent, but that's what the scripture says here. For in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. In other words, that the temporary and the eternal body, the temporary body that we have, will be swallowed up by an eternal glorified body, like Christ's glorious body. Amen. And so, people worry about clothing. People in the that are older, and yes, I just remind you, I hadn't forgot that I'm not getting younger. But worry happens in elderly years of fear of not having enough, but that the economy and everything is going to go so sour that we just won't have enough. But God is always a God of enough. We need to listen and believe what God said. You know, Psalms 37:25, it says, I have been young and now I am old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. That's God's promises to me, to you personally. If God saved you when you were young, he didn't quit being your God and your Savior when you got my age. Amen. And so I like to compare my own 63 years with that of Methuselah. I'm just a kid to him. Methuselah lived to be 969, so I figure I'm not too old. Amen. But worry happens in elderly years. But God has always been enough. He will always be enough. He was always more than enough. Praise the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. Praise the Lord. Don't have to worry. And let's look last of all here at the cure for worry. In verse 31, he says, Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, actually the unsaved people, that's what they seek. And people make their living off of coming up with some new piece of cloth that everybody wants. When the most famous person that you're next to, if it's the most famous person in your class or whatever, if you're in school, now it happened in my generation. It'll happen in yours probably. There was a cowboy. You became a politician, a Texas politician, Sid Miller. You ever heard of him? Yeah. Well, wasn't great. He was popular in high school because he was a cowboy of all cowboys. He was a bull rider and he was good at it and all that. One day he came to school. He never came to school with anything. He never wore anything except cowboy boots and jeans that were bit off in the back because he walked on the back of them. That was cool in that day. If the back of your jeans was eat up before your boots had walked on them. I don't know what that was, but anyway, that's what it was. He came to school one day with Sunday shoes on with a block about that high in the heel. I don't know if you remember them or not. And I thought, my goodness, here you are with a cowboy belt and a buckle that can fry eggs with if you turn it over and get it. And then, people, what in the world is going on with Sid? But it wasn't for long, two or three other of his followers came to school with shoes with a block that high on them, you know, with ugly shoes. Oh, they were wonderful then, you know, but ugly now. But you see, we're so influenced by things around, and everybody wanted a different pair of shoes then. And after a while, several people had his kind of shoes, and I had a different kind of shoe for a while. I didn't buy one like that. But anyway, finally I went back to my cowboy boots and said, whether Sid does it or not, I'm just going to wear my cowboy boots. And if you're wondering, that's what I have on this morning. Okay? This is what I wear. But you see, we look at things a lot of times and we begin to worry because we're not like everybody else or we're something different. But, you know, we don't need to be spiritually naked. We don't need to be like it says the Gentiles here. Talking about the heathen people. And heathen people without Christ are spiritually naked. People that are unsaved are spiritually naked. They may dress in the finest suits in New York City if they have them there anymore. But yet, without Christ, we're spiritually naked. And so the cure for worry is just have faith in God. Things change, people change, but God doesn't change. And spiritually, when we go to God, we need God's Holy Spirit with us. The Holy Spirit is not something you get. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is God. And so Jesus said, in the book of John, he tells us there in the 14th chapter of John, Jesus says, here's a perfect picture of the Trinity here, if people don't believe in the Trinity. Three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. John 14:16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, another helper, that he may abide with you forever. And my friend, we need the Holy Spirit. Yes, you're born, you're birthed of the Spirit, you're indwelt by the Spirit when you're saved, but after that, we're promised that we can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, amen, as they were on the day of Pentecost, as they were overflowed with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so, we need the Holy Spirit. And he's called here the Spirit of Truth. In a world full of lies, how bad the church and the people need to be filled with the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit there. Praise God. And so, we need the Holy Spirit so that we'll be clothed spiritually. And I know we're clothed with the righteousness of Christ, but we need to be empowered by God, the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. We can worry if we want to about the economy and everything and the political system. But let me tell you something. It may go under. The economy may go under. The political system of this world may go under. It may go under right here in our own nation. But I want to tell you, God is not going under. He's not going to collapse. He doesn't have to be upheld by anything. He upholds us. He upholds the universe by the word of His power. He upholds all things. God is not going under. You're not going to fail by going to God. If you want relief from worry, you just go to God, who isn't worried about anything. He can take you through, walk you through, help you through whatever life offers to you. He's a good God, and He's above worry, and He'll lift you above worry. Praise the Lord. Prayer is a cure for worry as well. Prayer is something that's talked about a lot. Books are written on it, but it's not good enough. Books are not good enough. You got to pray. Prayer is a cure for worry. Jesus, just as Jesus taught to pray, right here in this same passage, if you back up a few verses, you'll find the Lord's Prayer in there. And over in the book of Luke, it says, the disciples says, Lord, teach us to pray. You know, they noticed things. They noted Jesus. They didn't say, Jesus, tell us how to do miracles like you do. Teach us how to walk on water like you do. Only one of them tried that and he sunk. But anyway, Lord, teach us to pray. They recognized His communication with His Heavenly Father was so important. And that's where Jesus received instruction day by day to do the miracles and the signs that He did. He was never out of communication with His Father. He prayed. And Jesus taught us to pray. Amen. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, it says, do not be anxious for anything. In other words, worry about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And when we do that, friend, we begin to give everything to God. It tells us, verse 7, Philippians 4, 7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understandings will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. The word guard there has a military kind of a meaning. It's pictured as a guard as an army guard that stands guard over certain things to keep them from happening. And the peace of God stands guard over our hearts. And God lets you know when something violates what's going to take away your peace. And He warns you, don't do this or don't do that, because it'll steal the peace out of your life. So God, we're guard. The peace of God will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And the cure for worry is to understand that God is not an option. God, He is who and what we need and must have, or else worry will control us. Amen. No one can serve two masters. We either let worry control us, or we're going to let faith control us. Amen. We're saved by faith, and God has put faith in our hearts, the ability to believe Him for whatever may come or go. Praise the Lord. And God taught us to pray. Verse 33 says, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All the clothing you need, all the food that you need, if we'll just seek first, be in tune with God, let Him be Lord of your life. Amen. He says, don't even worry about tomorrow. So tomorrow will have its own set of problems to worry about. That's a paraphrase of verse 34. And so don't worry. Trust God. Live for God. Walk with God. And God will take care of you. He always has. He always will. He'll never fail. We can trust Him. Overcome worry.